Musikkultur Rheinsberg, der kulturelle Leuchtturm im Norden Brandenburgs, in Heinrichs Theater. Heute aus dem Kurt-Tucholsky-Museum im Schloss Rheinsberg, wo es gerade eine wunderbare Ausstellung der Multikünstlerin Maja Janta zu sehen gibt. Sie führt in diesem Sommer in Rheinsberg Regie in der Oper Raoul Barbe Bleue von Henri Ernest Modeste Gritry. Und es gibt eine Verbindung zwischen ihrer Arbeit als bildnerischer Künstlerin und der Inszenierung. Maja Janta ist mein Gast heute. Sie lebt in Finnland und fühlt sich mit Englisch wohler als mit Deutsch. Therefore, I'll continue in English. We're not in the same room because I am here in the exhibition, surrounded by your artwork, and you are back home in Finland, and we're connected via Zoom. Maja, would you like to introduce us to your artistic view or your arts in general, which makes you a wonderful director for Raoul Blaubart?
I hope I am the right person. I think it all has to do with imagining opera in a way that is maybe rooted in material, in not only the music, but taking it into a conceptual world. Just like my art always focuses on both the concept and the material. And I'm seeing the opera in a very similar way, as I'm taking the notion of sand, of time, as a departure point for this piece. If we could just go into the story real quick, we are working with an opera that was written just on the cusp of the French Revolution. I think that in itself is just so insane, because it marks this moment of the powers balancing, of the power of the people, of the power of what is not seen as high culture, what is not seen as powerful, period, and that actually having the power to break down a whole system. And like I did with creating the Blaubart Schlüssel that I created for Rheinsberg, where I was working with a very noble material, porcelain, but intersected it with earthenware, with local clay, clay that I just picked out of the garden here in Finland. And by creating those layers, the structure of the porcelain changes completely. And it's this kind of thought that drives my work. As you said, I am sitting in Finland, in my kitchen. And I think that is also something that I find intriguing in this project. It is both the high and the low combined.
That has a lot to think about already. But let's start with the keys, with the Schlüssel you created. The Schlüssel is something that everybody has in their hands every day. But if you realize, okay, this is a very valuable tool for us to enter a new world, how does that manifest in your actual material or in the actual Schlüssel you created? It is made of a noble material, porcelain, meeting basic material that's around us, clay or soil or sand out in the gardens. Is that something that reflects today's world as well?
Oh yes, I'm sure. I think, of course, there is no such thing as a noble material and a non-noble material. That is all culture and that is all like social construct. But we tend to not question things for a long time, up until a point where, let's say, a simmering point is reached and the pressure builds up and then people start questioning things. This is like just history repeating itself over and over and over again in different constellations.
So we have this key to change the future dramatically. And Blaubart is aware that if his wife is taking the key, she will destroy his future. and his wife Izor is aware, if I use this key, something will change, something that's not wanted, something that's forbidden to me. But I can't resist to change the future. How do you set this in pictures?
I think what is really interesting in both Perrault's fairy tale and then the adaptation into the libretto is this kind of balance or tension, rather, between the curiosity and the fear of the curiosity on one end, being like the portrayed as the female character, as the fickle, emotional part of humanity, in a way, and then the power structures and the money and all of that being on Blaubeard's side, like the old structures. And there is a funny thing happening there, because on one end, like in Perrault's fairy tale, of course the guy has a blue beard. This blue beard marks his ugliness, but it also marks the unnatural tendencies he has, something we intuitively pick up. And it is more that than the fact that he had three wives that strangely disappeared that is repelling to his future wife. In the libretto, that part has disappeared a little bit. And I think it's also interesting because it is not something we really see. This ugliness of Bluebeard is not that important. What is important is that he has this hidden secret, this darkness within him. And my gosh, there are so many figures in our media at the moment. Let's just mention Epstein, for instance, where you can see this. There is something we feel we know, but the power that the person has is so overwhelming that people are still drawn to him. And that's what's holding this whole structure of Bluebeard together. So you have that in the center, then you have the curiosity as the power that breaks this whole thing down. But it is based, this whole murder streak that Raoul has is based on a prediction. And that is so crazy because he is the irrational one. He is like not within the frame of the, you know, the Enlightenment in a way, which comes of course after the French Revolution, and it well is driven by this in a way. This old system is based on superstition. He believes that yes, his wife will cause his downfall. Her curiosity will cause his downfall. So that's why he's committing these horrible acts. Well, that's I think really fascinating about this opera. How these roles switch in a way, this sense of the woman being the one who is the weak one, who is emotional, who is driven and pushed by her curiosity. And in fact, it is the man who is driven by his fear of what might come.
I highly recommend visiting your artwork and your exhibition before going to the theater. Because in one room you set up a table which could easily be Blaubart's dinner table. So if a festivity would happen, it would be on these plates and with these forks and knives you made out of clay again. But then if you look closer, the table is not laid with black cloth. It is covered with pure black soil. And the cutlery and the dishes are fragmented. They have little holes in them, so they couldn't hold food, actually. And what you put on the table is not flowers, it's dried branches, dried leaves, something rotten, dying plants. As if you're feasting with a world that's gone long ago. How will that give an impact to somebody visiting the opera?
The table symbolizes so much. It is also present in the opera. There is a large table, and that table is also a metaphorical place of change. It is both like the center of Raoul's home. He's sitting at it, they're having breakfast, but it's also the place where the note is signed that will bring in the new order, that will bring in the brothers of Izor, who will then also cause the demise of Bluebeard. This table of decaying stuff, it's nature. It's nature always taking over. And we have our structures, we create our concepts, our towers. We build our towers and they crumble down again. And nature always takes over and restarts the cycle. And that's also this metaphor of the sand, the fact that you have this, I think in German it's called Sanduhr. It flows and it empties itself. But then it's turned around again and we restart. That is one of the key elements in this opera, I think. The fact that we have, every time again, we have the power in our hands to turn this around and restart.
Let's connect your artwork and the opera Raoul Barbe Bleu to Rheinsberg. How was the feeling for you as an artist to come to Heinrich's castle and know about 250 years ago he built this place and this opera I'm now working on was known to him? And I will bring it to this stage and sort of dive into his world more than 250 years later.
Oh, I think it's incredible. Just knowing that he most likely was present during the premiere, I believe in March of 1789 in Paris. Just knowing that he was there, he was present, he saw this, he felt this. It's like, you know, being both in this time and in the past. I wouldn't say that for my personal, like for my direction, it is something that I'm basing myself on, but I am driven to create something timeless. Something that is both in the past and in the present.
The imagination of yourself being in the past or having lived in the past, how would that be? Would you wear the big gowns or would you be somebody invisible, like one of Heinrich's servants, for example? Because they were invited into the theater as well, and they were naturally engaged as characters on the stage. What would you have been like?
Wow, that is hard to say. First of all, I'm not sure if I would have been female. Of course, being male in the past had lots of benefits. I could imagine myself as a gardener, just being there watching from the sides, making sure that the park was perfect and everything looked pretty for the guests that would arrive.
That's well taken out of affairs. One last one for now. What do you love about Rheinsberg and what are you expecting coming back now to actually work with the artists on stage? You designed the stage. Are you tempted to perhaps add something? Or can you really step onto the stage and say, okay, now that part is fixed and I turn to talking and working with people?
Well, we're already full on in the process of that. Of course, I imagined a set design, but I'm working very closely with the technical team of the opera of Rheinsberg Theater to create that concept, to see what is possible, what is feasible within the space. A space that is filled with such beauty because you have this gorgeous backdrop of the lake and you can imagine, you know how the sun will shine through and everything. So you're working already with the elements and with the proportions of the given space. And then as goes for the singers that will be coming, they are starting their career and that is something so amazing to be able to work with people that are eager and are at the beginning of their journey and that you can gift them something in this process. And the further we will be collaborating. It is just, you know, we're working on this together. Yes, it's my concept, but it's not rigid. There is a permeability in this work and their characters will infiltrate the world and will become richer, therefore. I'm always so excited about collaboration because we are so limited as humans. We can only imagine a certain thing that comes from within us. But when we are linking together, be it with the elements, be it with other humans, be it with anything, we become so much richer and the tapestry becomes richer. A bit like my artwork when I collaborate with nature in creating cyanotypes or in creating other objects. It is more interesting when it isn't just me. And the moment that they have their movements and their world created, it will be theirs. It won't be mine. And then comes the audience. And once they have their imagination, it will be their project. Oh.
In Heinrichs Theater, Musikkultur Rheinsberg, der kulturelle Leuchtturm im Norden Brandenburgs.